Chapter 10. Mr. Davis picked me up for a game against the Hawks the next day. He looked tired and drawn, and Ryan didn't look much better. "Good luck, boys," Mr. Davis said as he dropped us off. "I'd like to stay, but I think I'd better go home and sort out a few things." I watched Ryan as we pulled our bags out of the trunk and carried them towards the entrance. Would talking about it do any good now? After all, we did have to face the Hawks in half an hour, and his mind needed to be on the game. I kept my mouth shut. Most of the guys were already in the dressing room. Knowles arrived a few minutes later and gave us the rundown on the Hawks. They had two solid forward lines, but no real ringers, so we had to watch everybody out there. They did, however, have a defenseman named Bradley who had one of the hardest point shots in the league. According to Knowles, if we gave him time on the point, he'd blast one right through Jordy's pads. Jordy gulped, and Neil made some comment about an unwanted appendectomy. Knowles laughed. "The important thing is just to go out there and do what you did last game. One guy isn't going to win or lose a game." I looked at Ryan. He'd certainly won games for us in the past, but I knew what Knowles was getting at. Ryan sat staring across the dressing room, and I wondered if he'd heard anything Knowles had said. "The Hawks haven't had a great year so far. They're 10-6 in their league in Edmonton, so I'm not anticipating that we'll have much trouble with them." He glanced around our faces, his eyes lingering for a moment on Ryan's absent eyes. "Okay," he said finally, "let's go play some solid hockey." We filed out and down the corridor. I looked back at Ryan as we waited for the team to squeeze through the gate and out onto the ice. "You okay?" I whispered. "Sure," he said. "I'm fine." But Ryan didn't seem fine. He missed three passes in the first shift, and our line came off without even posing a threat in their end. Next time out, Ryan lost on the draw and then skated offside on a two-on-one break. And things didn't get any better. The Hawks winger fed it back to Bradley, who let a shot go as I moved in on him. The crowd erupted. I hadn't even seen it go by, and neither had Jordy. "Now I know what Knowles means," muttered Justin as we skated to the bench. "What a rocket." The guys were still talking about that shot when the period ended and we filed into the dressing room. We patted Jordy on the back. "Don't worry about it, Jord," advised Adrian. "You can't stop him if you can't see him." Knowles wasn't quite as easygoing. "You guys can't give Bradley time to set up like that. If you let him stand around in our end playing past the puck, eventually someone's going to put it in." He paused. "And heads up, we're missing quite a few passes out there." I glanced at Ryan, who was flipping the top of the water bottle back and forth, back and forth. The second period was no better. Justin shuffled down the bench to sit beside me as Red's line did a good job of killing a penalty. "Glad to see someone's playing decent hockey," he muttered. I was determined to do the same. Next time out, Ryan lost the draw, but I crushed the winger in the boards. Justin managed a bouncing shot, and Ryan got his stick on it, but deflected it wide. We skated off our first decent shift of the night. I tapped Ryan's shin pads with my stick. "Nice play." Ryan smiled up at me. "Next time," he said, and for the first time all night, I had a glimmer of hope. But my hope was shattered when Bradley blasted the puck from the blue line and made it 2-0. Then, minutes later, with time running out, the Hawks got a 2-on-1 break. I closed my eyes as they stormed down on Alex. The first shot hit the crossbar and bounced out into the slot. The second one went in just as the buzzer sounded. We rose to our feet, but the light hadn't got on. The buzzer had sounded first. No goal. "That last one was a little close," murmured Jared as we funneled into the dressing room. Knowles thought so too. "We're never going to score if we don't get some shots on goal. We've got to play heads-up hockey, hit those passes, and fire when we have the chance." "What's happened to our firepower?" asked Theo. A couple of the guys looked at Ryan, who was looking at his skates. "Bradley sure has firepower," said Scott. "Like I said before," interjected Knowles, "one player doesn't win or lose a game." Ryan tilted his chin to watch the coach. "You guys have been content to play the Hawks game for two periods now. How about playing our game for a while? A hard-hitting, fast-skating game like we usually play." He stopped and waited. "This is it, guys," said Neil. "The last period, and if we lose this one, we're out." "That's not going to happen," growled Dave. We sat silently. I knew the guys were thinking about the stuff they'd taken the night before. "Dave's right," said Red. "We just need three goals to put them away. We've done that before." We looked expectantly at Ryan. Three goals in a period against the Hawks was a big order. Ryan was studying his skates again. I wanted to grab him and shake him. "And we'll do it again." My voice surprised everyone, including me. Ryan's head snapped up. "Every one of us has a decent shot, so let's use it." I grabbed my stick. "There's 16 guys on this team, not one." I could feel Ryan's eyes on my back, but I didn't care. I'm going to go out there and hit and shoot. Anybody else coming? To my surprise, Ryan jumped up beside me. Count me in, he said, his eyes ablaze. Anybody else? The team jumped to their feet in unison. The Zamboni was still on when we filed out, and when our line skated on, I knew that Ryan wasn't about to lose this face-off. He didn't, and within seconds, Justin was carrying the puck into the Hawks' end. He let a weak shot go, but at least it was a shot. We threw ourselves into the Hawks every chance we got, and pretty soon they stopped coming at us so hard. That gave us more time to set up, and 5 minutes into the period, I laid a pass onto Justin's stick in the slot. He gave it a quick wrist shot, and the light went on. 2-1 Hawks. Knowles almost leaped over the boards. Neil's line went out next and threw some pretty scary checks. Pete got 2 shots on goal, and their goalie had to scramble to grab the second rebound as Dave screamed down on him. But the Hawks weren't about to lie down and die. Their coach called a timeout, and they came back checking hard. The rink echoed with thumps and bumps. We managed 4 more shots on goal before we got a lucky break. Red's shot hit the goalpost, went off the goalie's arm, and dribbled in. It was 2-2 with only 7 minutes left to play. We don't really want to play an overtime period if we don't have to, said Knowles. We need to save our legs for tomorrow. 1 more, guys, that's all we need. We guzzled fluids. 1 more, said Justin, elbowing Ryan. Give me the chance, Ryan pleaded as he skated over to take the faceoff, and we did just that. 30 seconds later, Ryan lit up the light with a shot high on the goalie stick side. It was 3-2 Falcons. Keep it clean, but don't stop checking, ordered Knowles. Ryan tried to hit their center, but he spun off the check and Ryan smashed into the boards. I saw him drop his stick, but he didn't think much of it until I looked around and saw Dave at center ice. I changed up. Knowles was talking to Ryan when I reached the bench. What happened? I panted. Probably bruised a rib, he muttered. There were 2.5 minutes left in the game and the Hawks were desperate. Bradley was teed up at the blue line, banging his stick for the puck. The winger slung it back to him, but Neil jostled him around and he couldn't get his shot away. We changed up with less than a minute left. I jumped over the boards and Ryan followed, except he didn't follow, he collapsed back onto the bench. Knowles hollered at Red and motioned Ryan to stay put. It was fast and furious and Jordy had to make a good save, but when it was all done, we were up by 1. We skated wearily to the dressing room. That was quite the pep talk, Ryan noted as we made our way to the lobby. I shrugged. I was pretty flat in the first 2 periods, he said. I noticed, I retorted, then softened my tone. I figured there was some bad news about your mom. We saw the home this afternoon, right before the game. He paused. If I ever get to that point, Joel, take me out and shoot me. There wasn't time to say much more about it. Dad was waiting for us in the lobby. You looked good out there, boys. I glanced at him. When did you get here? He grins sheepishly. About 10 minutes ago. Why? Ryan and I exchanged knowing looks. Let's just say that you wouldn't have said that if you'd been here two periods ago. Dad raised his eyebrows. Never mind, he said. You got the win. I threw my bag over my shoulder. Ryan picked up his, but it crashed back to the floor again. He rubbed his lower chest. I'll get that for you, Ryan, offered Dad. I saw you take a hard check late in that period. Your ribs hurting? A little, said Ryan. He let Dad carry the bag. Dad kept up a running questionnaire about the game all the way home. We filled him in, but as we drove closer to Ryan's place, Ryan grew quiet and that absent look settled back into his eyes. Want to come over tomorrow afternoon and watch a video? I asked as we pulled into the driveway. Angie rented a couple dozen or so and we don't play until 3:30. Ryan stared blankly at me. He hadn't heard a word. Thanks, Mr. Switzen, he murmured. No problem, Ryan, Dad said, and make sure you mention your ribs to your dad. The door slammed and Ryan trudged towards the house. I wondered what bad news awaited him inside. Everything okay with Ryan these days? Asked Dad as we pulled onto the main road. I mean, as okay as can be, considering. I contemplated Dad's question. The doctors think Mrs. Davis will have to go into one of those homes this time. My voice was a whisper. Dad studied me in the rearview mirror. I'm not surprised, Joel, he said. This has been going on for quite a while now, and she's not getting any better. It just gets harder and harder to keep her at home. Ryan and his dad went to see the home before the game. I guess it was pretty tough. I furrowed my brow. I'd never been in one of those homes. They're not so bad, Joel, advised Dad. They try to do lots of things for the patients. Mrs. Davis will get good care. She might even get to go out on bus tours and such. It's really the best thing for her at this stage. I guess so, I sighed, but I don't think Ryan thinks so. I was still mulling this over when we got home. Hey, Joel, did you win? Asked Lise. I bit into an apple. Barely. Lise plugged in the kettle and leaned against the counter, waiting for it to boil. She looked incredibly tired. Even the mood stones on her shirt were dark and muted. Tough day? She stretched. Yeah. I've been trying to email the Rivivitz people all day, but I can't seem to get through. And they're not answering their phones either. Maybe they've turned off their batteries for good. Lise groaned. I don't even want to think about that possibility, thanks. Do you know how much stock I have downstairs? I pictured the stacks of shoeboxes in the basement. Still, Lise should have known better. The kettle whistled and she dug out a teabag. You think I'm crazy, don't you, Joel? I stared at her back. Sometimes, I admitted, but she certainly wasn't as bad off as Mrs. Davis. She sighed. Maybe you're right. Lise, have you ever been inside one of those nursing homes? Lise looked up at me in surprise. As a patient, you mean? I smirked. Maybe she knew me better than I thought. No, just as a spectator. Lise sipped her tea. It's not exactly a spectator sport, but if you mean as a visitor, yes, many times.
Many times?
I used to volunteer at one years ago. Why? I don't know. I've never been in one of them. Lise settled herself into a chair. They're not so bad, Joel. The rooms are painted with bright colors, and there are lounges with televisions on every floor. Often there's a solarium or garden to sit in, and the staff organizes activities and outings. It's the best place for a lot of those patients.
What are the patients like?
It really varies. Some of them are just there for physical reasons. Bad hearts, breathing problems, that sort of thing. Often they're quite lucid and like to visit with each other. Others have mental or emotional problems. That's not always pleasant. Their behavior can be a little radical sometimes. I think that's tough on anybody, but the nursing staff are all well-trained and can handle it. She looked at me. Is Mrs. Davis going in?
I nodded. It won't be easy, Joel, but it's probably for the best. That was what Dad had said, too. Everyone seemed to think so. Everyone except Ryan.